these disciples of John are now being identified as part of the one church. But it's very interesting, notice how they received the Holy Spirit this time. What happened? Paul had to actually put his hand on them.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Our broadcast this evening is the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the first part of the message, which aired last week, Pastor Grant emphasized how the first effect of the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was to join all believers into one body, the body of Christ, the church. Thus, the church was born in unity, union with Christ and with one another. Pastor Grant then led us in a study of the first three of four instances recorded in Scripture describing the evidences of Spirit baptism. The first, of course, was Pentecost, where all those baptized by the Spirit were Jews. The second instance, and recorded in Acts 10, was the baptism of the Gentile Cornelius and his family. The third instance involved the disciples of John and recorded in Acts 8. This is where we pick up again this evening. So we invite you to follow along in your Bibles as Pastor Grant concludes his message entitled, The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
Very interesting. Paul had to actually put his hand on them. Do you know those are the only three times, you may be surprised, these are the only three times in the entire book of Acts where tongues are clearly mentioned. You hear all this about tongues? You would think it's all over the Acts of the Apostles. I've given you the three instances, and in every instance, it was to identify different groups with the new church that God just got started in Acts chapter 2. But I believe there is a fourth. I don't want to say factually, because the Bible does not say factually, but as you look in the context, you will have to come to the conclusion, I believe, that this is the fourth instance where tongues was actually mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles. So by the way, for your notes, that third one, these were all disciples of John. Acts chapter 8. I'm reading from verse number 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Isn't it interesting? Philip had gone to Samaria. Now, what do you know about Samaria? Help me out, somebody. What do you know about Samaria? Well, what do you know about the Jews and the Samaritans? You see, the Samaritans are the folks from Samaria. And what you know about the Samaritans is that the Jews, what? Have no dealings with the Samaritans. These were half-breeds. And listen, and so a Jew, a good Jew, he would walk all the way around. He wouldn't cut through Samaria. He would take the long way because Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But in Acts chapter 2, Jesus had done something. There was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The church had started and God is now baptized every believer into this one body of Christ, whether they are a Jew, a Gentile, a Samaritan, a disciple of John the Baptist. It doesn't matter. Verse 14, now when the apostles heard that Samaria, they sent Peter. Verse 15, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. These people were saved, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. They had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they, what did they do? They laid hands on them again. And they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. In my mind, it is clear that the same thing happened. And Simon sees an incredible business opportunity. Can you imagine? All we got to do, I can outdo any language school, because all these language schools, to help you to speak some other language, they have to have you there for 6 months, a year, 2 years. Simon says, my goodness, Can you imagine if I have that gift? I can just lay my hands on somebody. Bango, bingo. But there's something that you need to realize. I hope you're... Are you with me? I hear people saying that we get our doctrine from the Acts. GCA, listen to me good. And for those of you listening to me by means of radio, listen to me very good. It is impossible to get your doctrine from the Acts of the Apostles, because the Acts of the Apostles is a transitional book. We are moving from Judaism into the church age, and there is a gradual process. Because if I were to ask you, what is the method of receiving the Holy Spirit? Which method is it? In Acts chapter 2, they were there and they received the Holy Spirit without anybody doing anything. In Acts chapter 10, somebody has to come and put his hand on you. So which is it? You see, Acts is a transitional book. Please remember that. Please remember that when you're talking to folks who want to grab Acts as the doctrinal book. No, it's a transitional book. And you have to be careful, because there are many things that happens in the book of Acts, and you see the same thing happening in a different way. So how do you know how a person receives the Holy Spirit today? Because you see, we go to the epistles. The epistles are where we get the doctrine, church doctrine. They're in the epistles, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Don't go home and say, Brother Brian, say Acts of the Apostles is not important. Every single word of scripture is written by inspiration of God and is profitable and is authoritative. But we must understand the Bible in its context. And Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, what? He does not belong to Christ. So now that the church has been established, after the church was established, the moment anyone receives Jesus as Savior, they immediately receive the Spirit. Nobody has to come and touch you. Nobody has to lay their hands on you. The Spirit of God comes in immediately. And my friend, this morning, if some of you, there's some of you here, you're not sure you're saved, but if this morning you come to Jesus, I guarantee you, as you receive Him, the Spirit of God will come and live in you. You see, Ephesians 4, 5 tells us there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, this may surprise you now, took place only once. It only took place on the day of Pentecost. You said, Brother Brian, that's impossible. I wasn't born, so how could I benefit from the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I wasn't even born. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So let me ask you a question. When did God choose you? Help me, somebody. Those of us who know Jesus as Savior were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Do you believe that? And the God who chose you before the foundation of the world, He baptized you into the church on the day of Pentecost. Listen, He chose you before you were born, and you were baptized into the church before you were born. Listen, what happened at Pentecost has impacted all of us, because the entire church was baptized by the Spirit of God into the church. And listen, all you needed to do, the Spirit of God was just waiting till you said yes to appropriate all the blessings of Pentecost. All you needed to do was to say yes to Jesus, and that minute you benefited from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask some of you this morning, some of you are here and you have not received the baptism. The baptism of the Spirit means absolutely nothing to you right now. The problem is you haven't opened your heart to Jesus. But once you say yes to Jesus, you will discover that you are chosen from before the foundation of the world. And before the foundation of the world, He chose you and He baptized you. He made you a part of His church way back in Acts chapter 2. And He's waiting with outstretched arms for you to come to Him today and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Hallelujah. It can happen for you today. But listen, I got to move on. You know, when we were teenagers, there was a very popular song, and it went like this. As long as I got King Jesus, anybody know? I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. And said, long, long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. I don't need nobody else. It's a lie. Oh, I know some of you are going on like you don't need nobody else. I remember some years ago when we used to have these care groups, I would call some of my care group members and they said, Brother Brian, you don't need to call me again because I'll never come. Listen, you need me and I need you. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He has united us with Christ, but He has united us with each other. We need each other. Amen. That's why in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, the Word of God tells us, do everything you can to keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen? Listen, the Holy Spirit united us. But third, the Holy Spirit now indwells us. Before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would come on a person to accomplish a mission, but then He'd leave. You know, if you read Judges 14 and 15, you'll read where the Spirit of God came upon Samson. But then by the time you got to Judges chapter 16, the Spirit of God left Samson. And remember what happened? Samson, after the Spirit of God left him, he didn't know. And so the enemies were coming. They says, the enemies are on you, Samson. And he got up. The Bible says, he got up like old times. But the Spirit of God had gone. He didn't know the Spirit of God had gone. And he goes out there. And there has no strength. They captured him. They gouged out his eyes. Tied him up. Last day of his life, he begged God, God, touch me again. God touched him again. His strength came back. You remember what happened? He pulled down the entire building. You see, the Spirit would come on the person and leave them. And this is why Psalm 51, that's why David prays in Psalm 51. He says, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I hear Christians praying that prayer. I go to churches sometimes and I hear the guys praying, Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. It's a bad prayer. That prayer was a prayer for 2,000 something years ago. Because then the Spirit of God would come on you and leave you. But now that I am a believer, since the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place on the day of Pentecost, listen, He don't go nowhere. In fact, Jesus said this was going to happen. John's Gospel chapter 14, because this is very important. Look what Jesus says here in John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandment, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, another comforter, that He may abide with you, what? Oh, I hope your Bible said forever, because it's forever, amen? And you said, but he didn't say anything about the Spirit. Look at verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you. Right now He's dwelling with you. But you notice what it says? He will be in you. Acts chapter 2, something dramatic happened. The Spirit of God was no longer with them. The Spirit of God was in them. And the Spirit of God was in them forever. And this is why John's Gospel chapter 16, one quick verse there, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus said, listen, the Spirit of God would not only be with us, He would be in us. He would be in us forever. He says, but He won't come unless I leave. Listen, 7 days before the day of Pentecost, as Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem until the promise comes through. You remember what happened? Listen, while Jesus is talking, all of a sudden, He starts lifting off. He was ascending into heaven, and the disciples, everybody is looking up, and the angel said, why are you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in my like manner. He's coming again. Amen. He's coming again. One of these bright days. But just 7 days after He took off was the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit came, and now He's in us forever. Listen, and because the Spirit of God is in us forever, power.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Power is available to every person who puts their trust in Christ. So can we end by talking a little bit about the power? Turn back to Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had finally come. I'm in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. They were all with one accord. The disciples were in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And I want to make sure you see a word that my brother missed. And one sat upon each of them. One of the tongues sat on everybody. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was accompanied by a dramatic display of the Spirit's power. The Spirit's power was audible. There was a sound of a rushing mighty wind like that of a mighty tornado. I have never been near a tornado. I was out in Iowa just last week. And I tell you, there were all these tornado warnings while we were there in Des Moines. And the gentleman we were having dinner with, he was telling us the sound of the tornado. There was a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house. There was something audible. But there was something visible as well. There was something visible. It was like divided tongues of fire had entered the house. And one of the tongues of fire sat on each of them. Everybody got a special touch from God. And listen, God is doing this. Every one of us who has been baptized by the Spirit of God into the church, we have gotten a special touch from the Spirit of God. This was Pentecostal power. John Wimber got saved during the Jesus movement in the 60s. And he got saved reading the book of Acts. And he was so excited about things like what we just read about until he went to church. Because when he went to church, the service was nice, but there were no fireworks or special effects. And at the end, he looked at the people beside him and asked, "When are you going to do the stuff?" They said, "What stuff?" He said, "You know, the stuff." You see, he was expecting something like what happened on the day of Pentecost. And you know, some folks still go to church trying to see something like what happened at Pentecost. And if they don't see, they'll build it up. You understand? We're going to pump you up. We're going to pump you up and pump you up because we want to see the drama. We want to see the excitement. But I want to be very clear this morning. The events of Pentecost will never be repeated. They will never be repeated. Guess why? Because the events of Pentecost need not be repeated, because the Church of Jesus Christ was born on the day of Pentecost by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't need to be born again. But here's the good news. The events of Pentecost will never be repeated, but the power of Pentecost is still available today. And that's where I need to go. I'll just spend 5 or 10 minutes with you before I land this plane, because we need to realize that Pentecostal power is still available today. Write this down. We now have power to live a life of impact. Power to live a life of impact. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words." I'm skipping all the way to verse 36 for sake of time. "Therefore, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. You can imagine the courage it took for him to stand before all the Jewish leadership around the temple. And he's saying, God has made this Jesus who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 people were baptized. I wonder how many people were there. If 3,000 people were saved and baptized, at least 10,000. I don't know. Can you imagine Peter? Do you remember anything about Peter? Yeah, isn't he the same guy we read about like a few weeks ago? Isn't he the same 50 days ago? Is this the same guy 50 days ago? A little girl come to him and said, weren't you one of them?
Me? I never see that man before.
Another person said, yes, you are one of them.
No, he didn't just say it. This time he cussed. He cussing this time. I don't know the man.
And now here this little scaredy cat, he's now standing between thousands of the most powerful people, the religious leaders. And he says, you crucified him. Repent. What was the difference? We just read it in the few previous verses. The Spirit of God had come and was in him and was empowering him. My brothers and sisters, I want every person here this morning to realize that you and I have power to live a life of impact.
You say, that's all good for Peter, but you don't know my situation. He's the same Holy Spirit.
Most of us haven't done like Peter, because most of us haven't gone to work and said, and cuss, and said, I don't know him.
And I'm saying to you, my brother and sister, you can do incredible exploits for God because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You know, one of our big problems is that we won't do exploits because some of us want to stay in our comfort zone.
I won't get out of my comfort zone.
I heard people say, if God called him to go somewhere else, he's got to call him to a place where they eat the same food I eat. Because I ain't going nowhere if they don't eat the things I like.
I don't want to die and not achieve God's mission for me. Do you want to die and not achieve what God called you to do? Listen, God's Holy Spirit resides in every believer. And as a result, every one of us can do unbelievable exploits. We can live a life of impact by the power of the Spirit of God. So read this phrase that you have in your notes with me. Can you read this? Because the Holy Spirit indwells me. You see that? Because the Holy Spirit's indwelled me, I have power to live a life of impact. Let's say that together if you believe it. If you don't believe it, keep quiet. Because the Holy Spirit indwells me, I have power to live a life of impact. Do you believe it? Well, if you believe it, read it one more time. Because the Holy Spirit indwells me, I have power to live a life of impact. Do you really want to live a life of impact? You have the power. Do you want a life of impact? But secondly, and finally, we have power to live a life of victory. We don't have to live defeated lives. We don't have to let sin have dominion over us. We don't have to live a life of mediocrity. We can live a life of victory. Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. What is that power that's working in us? The Holy Spirit. He can help you live a victorious Christian life. So say this with me as we wrap this up. Because the Holy Spirit indwells me, I have power to live a life of victory. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit indwells me, I have power to live a life of victory. You say, Brother Brian, I don't sense this power. You know, some years ago, we had some visitors. We had invited all these people home for some special holiday. It was in the winter time, and our heater was not working.
And we were so panicking because all these people are coming over and the house is cold. So I called up one of these services and I didn't have a contract with them. And they said, Mr. Grant, this is going to be special rates. It's a holiday. And they told me the price. They probably said $150. Back then, that was really big, big money. Today, of course, it's not as big as back then. They said $150. I think that was the number. And they said, but since we don't know you, Mr. Grant, we need cash. So I had to go down to the Mac machine and get myself $150 cash for this man. So the man arrived. I'm not making this story up. The man arrived. He says, where is your heater? Downstairs. So as he's going down to the basement, he steps on the first step and he sees a little red switch. And he flicks the switch. The heater roars on. He said, that will be $150. The power was there the whole time. I had just missed one simple step. My brothers and sisters, as I bring the service to a close, I want you to know, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God, the power is there. But sometimes we're missing one simple step. The simple step we're missing is making a decision to be yielded to the Spirit, to say, God, I just thank you that you live in me, and by your grace, I want you to display your power through me. God, take me and use me.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.